Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastama Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
At the bottom of 64, so it means we're on that last sentence or something.
Last sentence. I'm on the top.
You're on the top of 65. I see.
No problem.
65.
Okay. The Acharya's duty, therefore, is to find the means by which devotees may render service according to references from Shastra, right? So they just don't make things up. It's always based on Shastra. That's the principle. So this idea that we don't need the Shastra, it's archaic, this and that, that kind of thing has no position or value within Krishna consciousness or anything connected actually with the Vedic movement. Now, it's a very, very important and very, how would we call it? Quintessential point within the non-Vedic culture is that it's whatever you feel like, that's what you can get away with. Right? So therefore, this principle is the principle of the outcasts. This is very essential for them. This is what actually makes them outcasts, is the importance of that point. Right? So that's when they take up. So this is how animals work. Animals work just on this. What they feel like, that's what they do. Right? You know, there's something to eat there, there's you, and then there's a cow. What's going to happen? The cow's going to come, push you out of the way, and eat whatever's there. Right? That's how it works. They feel like it. That's how it happens. So it's animal life. Right? That's why you see children. They do the same thing. But with training, then they come up to human standard. They start to act as a human being, right? So that's human form. Then means you're imbued with all that. In other words, the animal instincts in human form rather than in another form. Then, because the human form has the potential for human life, therefore one takes up human life, right? Does that make sense? It's not that you can't use the human form for animal life. What you should be using human form for, you know, it's just like using a butter knife as a screwdriver. You can do it, but it's neither good for the screws nor for the butter knife. So you can use the human form of life for animal life, but it's actually not that good. The animals have it so much better, right? You know, you're into eating. Elephants eat so much more. You know, you're into running, cheetahs are better than that. You're into sleeping. Hey, koalas sleep 22 hours a day. Like that. And then the other two, they eat. You know, so they're set. Like that. So it's not efficient. Animal life, it means animal life in animal forms is actually more efficient. But human form for human life, now that's special because that can bring you to the higher consciousness. Right? Therefore, unless it's based on Shastra, then how do we understand it? That's the whole point. It has to be taken from Shastra. And we don't use the Shastra against the Shastra. Right? That's that Bengali saying of sharpening the knife on the tree and then using the knife to cut the tree to see if it's sharp. No. So, here. Oh. Huh? Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, published such devotional books as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thus it is the duty of the Acharya to publish books that will help future candidates take up the method of service and become eligible to return home back to Godhead by the mercy of the Lord. Right, so they'll give information on how you can gain the Lord's mercy. That's the whole point. The Acharyas give how we can gain the Lord's mercy. Gaining the Lord's mercy, one returns back to Godhead. But it's not happening by some other technique. So whatever technique is there, whatever science is used, it's how to understand the devotional process. Is that something? In our Krishna consciousness movement, the same path is being prescribed and followed. Thus, the devotees have been advised to refrain from four sinful activities: illicit sex, intoxication, meat-eating, and gambling, and to chant 16 rounds a day. These are bona fide instructions. Because in the Western countries, constant chanting is not possible, one should not artificially imitate Haridas Thakur, but should follow this method. Krishna will accept a devotee who strictly follows the regulative principles and the method prescribed in the various books and literatures published by the authorities. The Acharya gives the suitable method for crossing the ocean of omniscience by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed, the followers will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord. This method is called Acharya Sampradaya. It is therefore said, Sampradaya Vihina Ye Mantras Te Nishphala Mataha, Padma Purana. The Acharya Sampradaya is strictly bona fide. Therefore, one must accept the Acharya Sampradaya, otherwise one's endeavor will be futile. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings, Tadera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanibas Janame Janame Hoy E Avilas. One must worship the lotus feet of the Acharyas and live within the society of devotees. Then one's endeavor to cross over nations will surely be successful. Right? So the society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and then what is it for? Following the instructions given by the founder Acharya, which is giving us the essence of what the Acharyas have given. So we see that's the actual purpose of this movement, is create that facility so that we can take advantage of what the methods given by the Acharyas, so that getting Krishna's mercy, then we can go back to Godhead. Anything else will not work. We can't make up our own method. We can't take positions that haven't been given. They won't work for us. Right? It means so many try. That's what the Upasampradayas are. Those who seemingly try these things, but they don't work, because how you will gain Krishna's mercy? You only gain Krishna's mercy by gaining the mercy of the devotees. You gain the mercy of the devotees by following the instructions. You don't follow the instructions, how do you gain their mercy? Not gaining their mercy, how you will gain Krishna's mercy? So it's a very simple point. So Krishna's come as the Veda, which is instruction. Then, so that's Krishna. Then the Acharya's instruction on that instruction, how to use that, that's the instruction we follow. Following that, then we are able to gain Krishna. So we see, by Krishna comes first as the Shastra. Then by the Acharya's direction, then we're able to practice that, then we're able to get Krishna's mercy. Right? So it's coming from Krishna, it's going towards Krishna. That's the whole point. So he makes that sometimes, it's, well, what is Krishna? He's made the first step. He's already come as the scripture. Then the Acharyas then give us how to follow that. Following that, then Krishna's pleased. So he being everything, he starts the whole process. Yes?
Sometimes it appears that, within our movement, when people try things heading towards Upasampradaya sort of stuff, then it seems like those techniques are working, they're effective, and that's
But working for what?
Well, they're...
What do you... means? In other words... people are following, let's say, Upasampradaya processes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying they're working, okay? What is our standard for working?
Well, they're attracting more people, they're preaching techniques.
No, but the point is that the only point?
No, that's why...
Because if that's there, I forget where it is. I'm not sure...
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember where it is. Oh, I think it's... I think it's Indianapolis. They have a stadium there for their car races. 400,000 people. That's the biggest stadium that I know of in the world. So, is it spiritual?
They're watching cars go around.
Yeah, go around and around in circles. They don't even turn left or right. They only turn one way, right? You know. So it means, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it means you let go of the steering wheel, the car will go straight, and then you turn it left. You know, it's just, you know. So the point is that volume is an indication, but you can't use it as the indication. The point is our standard is, are they becoming Krishna conscious? Are they more and more absorbed in Krishna by the recommendation of the acharyas? But if there's just more of them and they're not recommended in the shastras, then how is that of any advantage?
Well, these people claim that Mahaprabhu said that his name would be chanted in every town and village, and everybody in Kolkata wanted the whole world to come to consciousness.
Yes, but Krishna conscious, but Krishna conscious,
yeah.
But are we conscious favorably to Krishna? Because if all the if the whole time we're discussing how we don't have to follow the scriptures, and we don't have to do the things that Prabhupada himself personally introduced, saying that, oh, but where does it say that that's done? How can we take that these people are, there may be people following that, but it doesn't mean, it's just like going out on the street, sitting up on a corner in Calcutta and selling, you know, glass jewelry, you know, for a very cheap price. You know, it looks nice, it's done like that. So can we say we're selling diamonds?
Well, they're claiming that because people are taking to the holy name and the process on some level, not completely.
Yes, but then the point is are they interested in pure devotional service since they don't want to follow the things that Prabhupada gave? They don't want to say that Shastra is relevant. So in other words, their interpretation is what makes it work. So is that actually there?
Yeah.
See, guaranteed there are more sahajiyas chanting the holy name, and they can go all night.
Yeah.
Then they have already attracted. So if simply volume is there, the sahajiyas had them beat a long time ago.
Yeah, volume and chanting.
So that's the whole point. It's just like, okay, the average, depending on what countries you go, the average person on the street will claim to be Christian. If you say, okay, what's your faith? They'll say Christian. Do they necessarily go to church? Do they do anything connected to Jesus? Nothing. But if you ask them, they'll say that. You know,
yeah.
So if, you know, hey, say, you know, things get a little rough, then they might be praying to baby Jesus. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing is that what we're looking for? That's 2 billion people. That's practically a third of the planet. Follow this particular religion.
It makes it look really successful.
Yeah, but the point is how many follow strictly?
Yeah.
You
how
know?
Many have got the commitment and the
belief? Yeah, that's the whole point. So therefore, then how much you can say, well, it's a first step, then yes, then understand that that's all the further it is. And then those who are going to give more that can take it all the way to prema, don't get in the way of that process. Don't tell people that's not necessary.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the whole thing. So that's why I'm saying is it really favorable to Krishna? Is it really about following the order of Prabhupada and the previous acharyas? Or is it about just their own feelings and what they want to do?
These kind of people, although they take shelter in the holy name but in a different way, at the time of liberation or the realization, where they go, what is the association with?
It's just whatever they want. It's just even those who are properly situated sampradayically, if they're in their mixed devotion, then their material desires are prominent, they go from wherever those material desires take them.
Intimate association they will not get with Krishna. Because
why would they? If you can't follow Prabhupada, why would anybody else want you? That's clearly said by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Those who don't follow, they make up their own system. None of the Braj Basis trust them. they don't want to have anything to do with them. So if they don't want to have anything to do with them, why would you go back to Godhead? Why would you? What would you do there? You wouldn't want to do what they're doing there anyway.
Mm-hmm. There is one question I always arise in my mind. For example, here in the Holy Dham, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says whoever take birth or die in the Holy Dham is like, he's getting liberation or whatever. But we see that many even local devotees who are so-called Dhambasis, they don't follow mostly rules. They might
They're in a different category, so why even bring that up?
Because they, for example, some of them, even they are not Hindus.
What has it got to do with you? You're not born here. You're born here, then we can talk about it. You're not born here, so we don't talk about it.
There are some Muslims meat eaters, so some they are like
so what? But the point is you're taking it, they got to do what you're doing. It's just like this. Let us say we have, at the university, we have a college for law. And there's also a college for medicine. You happen to be in the medical college. And then you're fretting. How is it possible for those students in the law college to actually get a degree by this university because they're not following our curriculum?
It's for preaching. I ask just for understanding.
Who in preaching do you have? Who know Braj Basis and that, and they have to deal with them? You're out in the West. Who even knows they exist, let alone what they're doing? So it's not for preaching. Sanatana Goswami told, Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami that, you know, you behave nicely towards the Brajbasis, but don't be too close with them. They have their own method. They're born here. Why are they born here? Because of their devotional service that they've done before. Okay, let us take like this. Let us say you are a devotee, you're practicing Krishna consciousness in your mind. But you don't like the scriptures, you don't like the practices of Krishna consciousness. You don't think that there should be regulation in all these different things. You feel that's not necessary, the shastras aren't applicable to us now, and all that, but I'm a devotee. Okay? So in essence, what is the essential principle? It means you're Krishna conscious, but what's your drive? Anti-Vedic. Okay? Now, let us say, now, next life, this individual is born in the Dham. Who in the Dham is born who follows an anti-Vedic lifestyle? Muslims. That's why you see when there's some program or this or that, they all like to come. The Gurukul, when the Julan and all that, when we were doing it here, you know, when it was, the school was there. Then all our laborers, who are all Muslims, they would all dress up, bring their families and kids and come and take part and take prasad, and they love to do it. Prabhupada made that point. If they hadn't made Bangladesh and Pakistan, then all the Muslims were anyway following all the Hindu stuff. There was no need of a separate country for them. They were already doing what they did, and this said it was already a nice interaction. Right? But by creating these two states, then it created all the politics. Okay. So that's you don't like the Vedic thing, but you like devotional service, then hey, there's plenty of opportunity. You know? Does that make sense? So that's it. You're careful. You're not careful about what you eat according to Shastra, but you're careful about what you eat according to, you know, what the internet says you should. So then, yes, you'll have a very strict diet, but not according to the Vedic. You understand? So it's there. So that's why you see underlying there's this system. But because that's there prominent, then Krishna gives that taste. You know, otherwise, what, the animals? You know, you do all the different things, you end up as all these different animals. They're also Dhambasis. You know what I'm saying? So just because that's their program. It has nothing to do with us. We're sadhakas. And their position is between them and Krishna. Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah. Very often devotees ask this question because sometimes we emphasize just being in the sampradaya, we already connected through Srila Prabhupada. And sometimes we emphasize that you should have a spiritual master to be connected, living spiritual master.
So the question is, if the person leaves his body, whatever, and not accepted spiritual master yet, or the person just looking and didn't make up his mind yet, what's the position?
What do we mean by what's the position?
Is it connected, sampradaya, or not?
Child is born in the family of devotees. Are they connected to the sampradaya?
No.
Then they're all one category. It's called samanya bhaktas.
Okay, so here when we say about that, here about acharya, sampradaya, we also mean...
It means we're accepting the instructions, because the whole thing's about instructions. So when we accept the instructions of the acharyas as our life and soul, that's sampradaya, acharya sampradaya. So before that, then one is interested in this and that. So if that it just depends upon that commitment. Commitment is there, then it works. Commitment's not there, it doesn't. So, because the question is, why don't they find? It's not that they don't get benefit. You're associated with devotees, so that agyata sukriti is developing.
Usually we emphasize the first one first, and you know, you come into connection.
Because you're in association, but what happens after association? Bhajana Kriya. So by association you get Shraddha. In that association then you come to practice Bhajana Kriya. So then that means now you're connected to the Sampradaya. So it's about getting to that, because then if you say, oh no, but we have to keep it down here, then what about, you know, eight stages later is prema, and so we're not even accepting Bhajana Kriya, which is the third. How are we going to be cool with, you know, and then nishta, you're fixed in the process and like that, you know. So the point is it starts by association, and then from association everything else comes, because by association you get a jnana sukrita, by that you get faith, by that you take up the association, by that it starts Bhajana Kriya, by doing that you get purified, so not the nivriti. Then one becomes, you know, continuing that association, one becomes fixed. Then by being fixed, then that gets taste, attachment, that takes to bhava, then by continued association there, that goes to prema. So it's that they're in association, so they're not ordinary, so their position is going to be taken care of nicely, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't matter. This whole thing is that if I'm saying, yes, you start with A, B, C, you know, the kid goes to school the first day, they learn A, B, C, and then I'm going to make a philosophy. See, I don't need more than ABC. You said ABC, you know, this and that. We begin on ABC. That's the foundation and all that. So we don't need anything more. It's like, why come up with these philosophies? You know what I'm saying? The point is one's supposed to move through the process. Like that. These things are just given so that we can understand what they're there. Basically, you either have taste or you don't. Right, so that's why bhava then is actually, that's standard. Now that's serious devotional service. Right, because before that there's conditioning. But from ruchi we can say is that the glimmer of, you know, that aspect of bhava is there. It means you can see it in its positive light. Like that. Before that it's still bhava, but it's just not much happening in the way of feelings. Right, so by going through those first, I say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stages, that will bring you to taste. Then taste, attachment, those two will bring you to bhava, that will bring you to prema. So, in other words, we have to see is that we're trying to get to prema, therefore we're trying to get into these upper stages, but not artificially. So it's done through going through this. So someone doesn't find, and whatever's the reason, they'll because they've done devotional service, they'll continue at the same place in their next life. You know, so that's the whole idea. Yeah.
Sometimes you mention that if the person didn't develop bhava in this lifetime, but he remembers Krishna at the time of death, then in the next life he takes birth in Gokula and continues and then develops it there. So,
yes.
But in this context, can you say that person, for example, on the
Sadhu
Sangha platform, that he remembers Krishna at the time of
death? If he can, but it says Krishna alone, not Krishna and his granddaughter.
Krishna. or would it be more correct to say that?
It means the point is Ajamil. Ajamil, he remembered, but
he started, but he developed
Yeah, then he continued after that. So the whole point is let us, just for discussion's sake, let's say that person who's, you know, new to Krishna consciousness hasn't taken up that, hasn't gotten to Bhajana Kriya. And somehow they're so convinced and they remember Krishna at the time of death. Can we take that as an example for our life? So then why discuss it? So in other words, in the Vedic sense, which is based on logic, the exception proves the rule. Means it's rare, so therefore that's why the process is there. The modern, because it's anti-Vedic, then it uses the exception to destroy the authority of the rule, and therefore it's not that they'll follow that, now they don't have to follow any rule. Because it's not that, okay, I have to be able to remember Krishna 24/7, so that therefore, even though I don't have a spiritual master, I'm not following the rules and regulations very seriously or anything like that, I can remember Krishna and go back to Godhead and then continue from there. Do we see such a mentality? So sincere on, but not following anything. Yes, so that's my point. If they're that sincere in that, so if there is that, it's going to be a rare thing. So that proves that if you want to be successful, you have to endeavor for it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. So if they're just going to leave it up to chance there, why don't they leave everything up to chance? You know, just come to Mayapur, make no previous arrangements before, because if you're supposed to be in the Dham, Lord Chaitanya wants you here, then you'll have a place to stay, you'll have food, you'll have everything, you'll have service, you know, like that. You know, so you'll just walk up and just people just be waiting for you, right? You know what I'm saying? So it's not necessarily happening. We make the arrangement. People are making arrangements months before to get a place and this and where and. So then why don't they do that about developing love for Krishna? Why is it they leave that to chance? You know what I'm saying? You know, they iron their shirt, they get the breast stuff, they get all this kind of stuff, and all these arrangements and all that, but actual training on how to interact, that they don't even, that leave that to chance. But that's the real thing. You know, so that's the thing. Stuff of substance, we leave to chance. And stuff that's actually in support of substance, that we take so seriously. That's the material mentality. So the point is it could happen, yes. But then, there would be the question, well, what were they last like? You know, is it just, you know, that's the first time they came in contact with Krishna consciousness, just straight cold up front? But to have that faith, that means there has to be so many lifetimes of Agyata Sukriti. So just, we've only seen this much, we don't know what's there before. So therefore, it's still Krishna's process. Krishna doesn't give a process to Rupa Goswami, and he documented it, and that's given to us by the Acharyas. And then we're going to have a better idea how it works? So this is what they see, this is what we should do. Even if there is exceptions, that's not our business. We're sadhakas. We follow the sadhana. You know. Okay.
Then can you say that? I mean, is it a proper understanding that those who worship Uttalam Rukmini in Pandharpur, they are...
Those who worship Vitalnath.
Uttalam Rukmini in Pandharpur. So, they are an exception because they... belong to so-called the Varkari Sampradaya.
Vaikanas.
Varkari Sampradaya.
Varkari. But where is Varkari connected?
I have no idea regarding that.
So no, but point is, unless you know, then how can we discuss the point?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because unless you know where they go back to.
Because they are connected to Tukaram Maharaj. And it seems that Tukaram Maharaj...
Yeah, but Tukaram Maharaj is connected with Lord Chaitanya. Yeah, so what's the problem?
Because they have a different mantra.
Yeah, and where are they going?
Pandharpur, worship Krishna.
They're going to Pandharpur to worship Krishna. But Krishna in what form?
Dwarkadish.
Dwarkadish. So then, are we worried about that? They have a different mantra. They're going to Dwarka, so we have different mantras. We're going to Braj. Is there a problem here? Okay. Yeah. Okay, one must worship the lotus feet of the Acharya and live within the society of devotee. Then one's endeavor to cross over nations will surely be successful. So that's the recommendation. That's what we're trying for. So that's what we should be doing, not trying to find excuses for being something else. Right? I don't want to do it, so I'll try to find an excuse to, you know, say that I can do it in my own way. Yes.
So this is the whole system of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra.
Yes, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Yeah, yeah. We never see what's his name? We never see Mr. Sinatra listed in those who became perfect.
Became
perfect. So that's the thing. You have to follow in the Sampradaya. You can't make up your own system. Yes.
It's like they have some really strong attachment to Krishna, even if it's sentimental, and they can't reconcile that there's things that they just can't.
Yeah, because it's mixed. That's the point. There's attachment to Krishna, but there's attachment to Maya.
Yeah.
But the point is the standard is we have whatever little bit of attachment to Krishna, then that's good. But we'll consider that that's not enough. And our attachment to Maya, we'll consider that that's real, it's there, it exists, but it's not important. It's sad that it's there, but we're able to realistically look at it and understand that it's attachment, and so therefore I deal with it, and I engage it in Krishna's service. But now, if I ignore my attachments, saying, oh, they don't matter at all, it's just about the attachment to Krishna, then the point is that can we say that we're always engaged in Krishna's service? Because if we have attachments, that means the attachments are taking time. We can't have material attachments and not give them any attention. We'll have material attachments and we'll be, you know, involving ourselves in those. So that means there's nothing positive about our attachments because we're not recognizing them. You know, for devotional service it doesn't matter, so we're just engaging in our material attachments just as material attachments. So they're just mundane. So that's the example of getting in the boat, rowing the boat, but not taking up the anchor. We're rowing. You can say, oh, but they're chanting, and oh, they come and they do so many things, and oh, isn't it fabulous? But yes, they're rowing the boat. That's a good thing. But why not take out the anchor and get somewhere? You know, that they're chanting, that's good, but what's happening with their chanting? Where are they going with their chanting? That we don't see that they're really going anywhere. Why? Because the attachments are being maintained, because they're not even addressed. Right? Then, that's one. Then the other one is that we're addressing them, but then saying they're perfectly all right. And to the form that they are in and how I like them, that's fine. And in fact, because I like it, it's devotional. I'm a devotee and I like it, so it's devotional service. You know what I'm saying? And so this is really not progressive. Because the other one, maybe by good association, they might by chance move forward. But this one is, even they come up with good association, they won't be able to accept it because it's all about, if it's not in line with my desire, I don't like it. They're in denial. So both of them are in denial. Just one sentimentally deals with it, and one tries to make a show of intellectualism. Mm-hmm. But the point is it's still the same thing. It's still attachment. Mm-hmm. Now, the Vaishnav, the tradition is that you recognize it's there and engage it in Krishna's service according to Shastra. Because the point is I should be offering things to Krishna based on love. So based on love, I'll do things properly. Right? And where will I get that? From the advanced devotees. They'll show me how to express that love. And so within that context, I will act. Now, I'm not acting on that position of love, so therefore, how am I going to know how to engage these activities? By the association of devotees, they say how to engage the mundane, right? It means in the spiritual world, then Mother Jashoda is teaching someone how to cook, but they have no material desire, right? So it's on the spiritual platform. But here, we have material desire. So then the acharyas teach us how to engage that in Krishna's service. So if we don't have that, and it's just about our own whims, then how is it service? So it'll never be. So therefore, according to Shastra, that's why Prabhupada said, according to Shastra, then you give how to engage those things in Krishna service.
That misunderstood, because they don't recognize that they have the material desire.
No, they're not accepting that. So that's why we say it's not, it's mundane. Mm. It's not technically mixed devotional service, it's just material.
They just misunderstood that.
Yeah. It's just misunderstanding. But they're misunderstanding it in a very intellectual way.
Yeah, so it makes it look
good. Yeah, so it makes it look good.
Follow it, and
yeah, yeah. It just makes it look good. That's all. You know, there's all these intellectual ways. Of, you know, it's just like, how you say it? As I was mentioning, it was at this one place, and they were showing off their dairy. And saying about how, you know, the cows here, they have these milking machines, and the milking machines work in X amount of time, and this and that. And somehow they made a reference that, some, you know, so the cows, it has to fit within this time, you know, whatever it is, the 4 minutes or 7 minutes or like that. So then someone asked the question, well, what happens with the cows that the milk doesn't get delivered in that X amount of time? And then the guy just smiled and says, well, everyone likes their steak, don't they? And so then everyone, oh yeah, yeah, right, right, and just everyone moved on. So they use these intellectual ways to just, how you say, justify their material desire. But that doesn't make it any better. You know, why not put all the slow cows in one place and leave the machine on longer over there? No, because they turn off the machine, then if that cow isn't given the milk, then, you know, he's saying, so it's not about the cows. It's about themselves. So this whole thing is, it's not about Krishna, it's about themselves. Krishna's there, it's nice, he's part of the thing, but it's actually more about themselves than about Krishna. So therefore, it's not an advanced position, but trying to say it's non-different, it's all the same, and that's lack of intelligence. So you're using intelligence to cover the fact that you don't really have, that you're not dealing in an intelligent way. You know? So that's the whole thing. And then at some point, if that doesn't work, then they'll blow up, and it's sentiment, and it's aparad, and how can you say that? And, you know, but at the same time, they don't mind saying things about Prabhupada and the Acharyas and the scriptures, and that's just, you know, being practical, straightforward, and intelligent. But if you say anything against what they're saying, then immediately it's always offensive, as this and that. So how can we take individuals like this as serious in Krishna consciousness? Because it's not Acharya Sampradaya.
Maharaj, is this the perpetual this from a basic philosophy outside is from what house prepared in the world a basic philosophy presents by his form.
But then the point is that if it's discussed, then people can tell what it is. Is it discussed? If it's discussed, then people know. If it's not discussed, how will they know?
What's the question?
Question is that, okay, atheists from outside the society, we hear things from them, and we can be obvious to say, well, they're karmis. But if devotees say the same thing, then how to protect from that? You know, in other words, what we're discussing in philosophy, you know, have we gotten past, you know, the 70s or 80s? But when it comes to, you know, our concept of management, economic and social, and all these different things, we're trying to be quite up to date. So why is it that the one we try to make more sophisticated, but the other we don't? Because these points about everything's Krishna, and therefore everybody's seeing Krishna and looking for Krishna, but they don't know that what they're looking for is Krishna. That was known by the devotees in the 60s and early 70s. So if they would at least talk that, then we'd get somewhere. But it's, you know, it's no, but I have these needs and family and all that, but what, that's Krishna you're looking for. So why not, since it's Krishna, look, what would be, since Krishna is your money, and the potency of your money, and the attractiveness of your money, then wouldn't we want to follow the rules on how we deal with Krishna's money? Right? Or family. What does Krishna say about, since Krishna is the wife or the husband or the children? right, or the parents, then why wouldn't we want to deal with Krishna in this form, the way Krishastra says? Why would we want to make a, just say, oh, I'm attached? That, yes, of course you're attached. Now, what are you going to do about it? No, I'm attached. No, but what are you going to do to connect to Krishna? No, but I'm attached. That's how is that sincere? That's just, as they said, just attached. So that's the whole point, is that we're trying to go beyond that. We know we're attached, but we're trying to engage that attachment according to Shastra. And even if we can't do what Shastra says, we know that that's where we're trying to get to. So we start from where we are now and gradually try to get there. Because the point is, this always says gradual. But it's not, oh, it's gradual, so I'm taking my time. No, you should be pushing it as quick as you can. So I'm saying, Ian San, that's what we were talking about before in Vedanta Sutra. Because as soon as something comes up, we adjust the context, then we have a whole new argument. Is that what it says? So the point is that we're engaging our attachments in the Lord's service, because what we're attached to is Krishna anyway, but until we recognize that, then it won't be dynamic. But once we do, then we can see it becomes more dynamic. Because then it's not about the form, it's about Krishna that makes it, because it's dead matter. Dead matter is never attractive. Okay. Does that make sense? Okay. So I may say that aside from devotees who always seek shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, there are those who are not devotees but who have accepted different processes for attaining salvation. Footnote 22. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, there are two types of bhakti practiced as an anga of jnana. The jnanis practice bhakti a little bit, because the scriptures say that without bhakti, jnana cannot be perfected. Some think of the deity as an illusory form, and thus worship with disrespect. Others simply worship without disrespect. They don't have respect, but they don't have disrespect. But some of them, they worship with disrespect because they think that I am that, so then, you know, why I have to worship this guy? I could just worship myself. Right? You know, or they worship that I'm worshiping myself, and so they're disrespectful to the deity and think that they are like this. The first type take extreme measures of austerity, and after a long time when bhakti bestows knowledge which destroys ignorance and brings about the Brahma-Bhuta stage, it disappears. These people are falsely liberated, vimukti manina. They cannot be called jivan-mukta. According to the Lord's statement, bhaktyaham ekaya grahyam, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.21. I am attained solely by devotion. Because of not attaining direct association of the Lord due to the absence of bhakti, because of presence of offense, the burned up seeds of karma again begin to sprout, and they fall into the material world again. An example of this is given in the Vishnu Bhakti Chandradaya portion of the Skanda Purana concerning Rath Yatra. Quote, if a person out of illusion does not follow the Lord during Rath Yatra, although he has burned all his karmas with the fire of knowledge, he will become a Brahma Rakshasa. End quote. Right? Because it means, like in Bhagavatam said, he'll fall down from his position, or he'll take up mundane consciousness again, like that. But Skanda is a Purana is presented through the medium of ignorance. Right? It's not ignorant, it means it's just, it speaks well to those in ignorance. So if you say you'll become a Brahma Rakshasa, then it's, oh, okay, we got to take this seriously. If you just say you'll fall down to your position, it's, oh, what's the big deal? Right? In the Vasana Bhashya, also there is a statement, even a Jivan Mukta, if he offends the Lord, full of inconceivable energies, will fall into the bondage of karma again. The bhakti of the second type of jnana brings about Brahma Bhuta, and though extinguishing both knowledge and ignorance does not disappear, it then brings about a direct realization of God. That type of jnani attains the status of Jivan Mukta. Srila Jiva Goswami discusses this in detail in his Bhakti Sandarbha, Anucheda 111. So we see is that those who don't disrespect the Lord, because they don't know the Lord as a person, they just know him as Brahman. So it's just that position of neutralness. Right? Brahman's neutral, they're neutral. They follow the process because the scripture says, then by following that, that will bring them to the state where then they will come to that platform where all material knowledge and all that is destroyed. So they'll come to the Brahma-Bhuta platform. But that's, they'll be liberated, but that's all the farther they'll get, because they haven't been respectful in worshipping the Lord. So that's Bhakti Misra Gyan. Right? No, excuse me. No.
Yeah.
No, Bhakti Misra Gyan. Right? They mixed Bhakti with Jnana. So it has to have, so they know it's there, so then they follow it. That's why those who are more absorbed and have more faith in the Bhakti part, they don't disregard it. Right? Because they'll just say, well, they're on the beginning stages. So they who are more advanced, then they're disregarding because they're more advanced. But then, according to this, they never actually get to the liberated platform. They only think they're liberated. But those who are not disrespectful, then they're just that neutral platform. They'll come to the liberated platform. Now, the devotees, because they offer worship with respect, they'll come to develop a relationship with the Lord. That relationship will be eternal. So that liberation is eternal. What happens to them? In answer to this question, Lord Brahma and the other demigods said, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. Right? So they only imagine they're liberated because there's certain aspects that they're not attracted to and this and that. So they may give up the gross form of attachment, but they have the subtle form of attachment. Right? So that imagined superiority, right? So that's dhanam, janam, sundaram, that's what they're interested in. Like that. Footnote 23. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 32 to Bhagavad Akramichi Mala, chapter 14, entitled Analysis of Unfavorable Conditions for Bhakti, Bhakti Pratikul Vichara, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. So, practicing devotional service with the idea to get liberation from it without having that proper respect for the Lord, that's unfavorable. You can say it's a practice of bhakti, but it won't give the devotional result. So you won't actually get bhakti from it. Srila Prabhupada comments, it doesn't matter whether one is a karmic, jnani, yogi, philanthropist, politician, or whatever. If one has no love for the lotus feet of the Lord, one falls down. That is the verdict given by Lord Brahma in this verse. But it doesn't matter how great one is on any platform, one will fall from that position. There are persons who advocate accepting any process and who say that whatever process one accepts will lead to the same goal. But that is refuted in this verse, where such persons are refuted as vimukta manina, signifying that although they think they have attained the highest perfection, in fact they have not. Right? So that also applies to what we were discussing before. They think that they're advanced because they don't follow the devotional process in the way that they feel is the best way to not follow it. And so then they'll think that they're advanced because it's just the same. At least in this original philosophy that, you know, you could follow bhakti and it would be accepted, you know, the traditional form. But they may, you know, but they'll equate it with worship of the demigods or anything else. But in this one, this more modern, contemporary one, then the traditional one is avoided, and their own made up one is. So it's not even you're dealing with various shastric stuff like that. So it's actually a worse position. In the present day, big politicians all over the world think that by scheming they can occupy the highest political post, that of president or prime minister. But we actually see that even in this life, such big prime ministers, presidents, and other politicians, because of being non-devotees, fall down, patyantyadaha. To become president or prime minister is not easy. One must work very hard, aruhya kricharena, to achieve the post. And even though one may reach his goal, at any moment one may be kicked down by material nature. In human society, there have been many instances in which great, exalted personalities have fallen from government and become lost in historical oblivion. The cause of this is Avishuddha Buddhayaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32. Their intelligence is impure. So that's what I'm meaning. This position of impure intelligence, you can't come to the liberated platform. The intelligence has to be purified. That's why he said that proper worship without disrespect, then they gain, their intelligence is purified. So they go beyond that platform of knowledge and they come up to the pure state, that Vasudeva Sutra. So they are liberated. But they can't go beyond that into bhakti, because the bhakti wasn't actually their goal. Their goal was liberation. They used bhakti as the process, since shastras say you can't get anything in karma and jnana without bhakti. So they're following it. So, why the Abhideya? Because it's improper Abhideya, using bhakti for other purposes without respect for the Lord. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. Abhideya is practice. So they're practicing worshipping the deity, right? So we could say archanam is one of the processes of devotion. So we say it's Abhideya. So they're practicing this as Abhideya, but without respect for the Lord. So that's unfavorable, because they'll just fall down from their position. They won't actually come to a liberated position. For the devotee, because they practice it with devotion, they'll get liberated and enter into the spiritual world. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. You're meaning, I don't quite catch it, they're dear to Krishna. So it means karmi and jnani, that must be this devotional service, but through jnana yoga or karmi yoga. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, in this context, why would you say dear to Krishna? If we're just meaning all living entities are dear to Krishna because there is parts and parcels, then we're just meaning that all these material living entities, other than devotees, are engaged in karma and jnana. Right? So most are karma, few are jnana. Right? You know, I'm not sure if we can't figure the chimpanzee as a jnani, because he can figure out, put the table, then put the chair, then he can get the bananas. You know what I'm saying? So you just have to see in the context what's which angle that they're taking.
Maharaj, if the living entity is doing devotional service and all this thing, but he is, let's say, somehow cheated, thinking that he's doing the proper way, and thinking that he is in the right process or the right platform, but then he has the faith. His faith did not decrease in love or expecting to be reciprocated from Krishna himself or whatever.
What process? Knowing about pure love for Krishna and knowing about the process to attain that pure love, where would the cheating be?
Because it might not be, let's say, with all respect to all many other sampradayas or, let's say, other gaudiyas, they see themselves, each one sees himself in a perfect way, but there are contradictions and they criticize each other. So,
but that's another thing, because that their goal is different. See, Shris, Madhvas, Nimbarkas, Vallabhas, they all have different goals that they're gaining in devotional service. Some are Vaikuntha, some are Golok, but in Dwarka, or Mathura, or lower Goloka. In other words, they're all within lower Goloka or Vaikuntha. So it's different from what we're trying to do, so it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? And if it's Gaudiyas, then they have their line, they're trying to get their position there, but they're not following the founder Acharya, that's all. So they can get to the spiritual world, but they'll be in a different group. They won't be in a group connected with Prabhupada. So we would rather be in that group.
I heard Prabhupada wants to say they are a dry branch.
That's a dry branch, because preaching is, where's the preaching? You know what I'm saying? A few are, but what preaching is working? Those who are using what Prabhupada gave. Bodhayan Maharaj made that very clear once. He says that, you know, we're preaching, we're hardly even successful here in India, let alone in the West. But by following what Prabhupada has done, then we find we can preaching is successful here, preaching is successful in the West. So those who follow that, who accept that, they're the ones that it works nicely. Those who oppose it, then what do they have? Who even knows they exist? So, but it's a dry branch, but it's still a branch. The point is they're connected, they're sampradaya. But it's just as a preaching machine. It's just like this. If people cooperate together and develop, then it expands. But if after trying to cooperate and getting it together, they break up into all different parts again, and then you start from all over again, then starting up anew, and then when that break it up again, how successful is that? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point. Is that's why it's said it's as a preaching machine, it's asar. We're not saying that their connection to the parampara is useless. We're just saying as a preaching mission, since Lord Chaitanya's mission is preaching, then how preaching is it? You know what I'm saying? Because as soon as someone becomes senior, now what would be more effective? A whole group of senior devotees working together, or each senior devotee, as soon as he becomes senior, going off on his own and then having to start dealing with, you know, new devotees and then build it up, and as soon as then they become senior, they break off into their own thing. So it's not, as a machine, it's useless, literally.
Once you spoke about the commitment, you gave one lecture on commitment to Prabhupada, I remember.
Yes, but that's a different thing. Now we're talking about those who committed to Prabhupada that are from here. Those who have become devotees by the preaching of the Gaudiya Math itself, that we have no comment about. They preached, they became devotees, they gained faith, that's good. That's a whole different thing. Those who were within ISKCON, picked up by ISKCON, gained that faith there by Prabhupada's instruction, then go out into other missions, that then you can't speak very... you can't speak very confidently that they're well situated. Because where will they be well situated? Because they're not connected nicely with Prabhupada or those connected with Prabhupada, so therefore then where is their position? You know what I'm saying? So it's not a strong position. Those who've been made devotees by that mission, that'll work. You know what I'm saying? That'll work for them. But what we're saying, as a preaching mission, it's not very strong. Because each mission has to function on its own. It's not, you know, we have hundreds of temples, they're all functioning together. Here, there's hundreds of temples, each one is separate from the other. It's not as efficient. So as a preaching, it's not very efficient. Okay. Going back to Godhead, they can go back to Godhead. Why not? If they follow what Rupa Goswami says, their commitment, their sincerity, their, you know, endeavor for pure devotion, you know, that has to be there. You know what I'm saying? So if they're sincerely following Ramanujacharya or Madhvacharya or any of the acharyas and doing like that under the direction of their spiritual master, yes, they can go to Vaikuntha, why not? But the point is we're not interested in Vaikuntha. We're interested in Braj. That's why we do what we do. So Lord Chaitanya gave that entrance into Braj. That's new. That's unique. What is
it? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Shrinidhai Gaurakrishna.